Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Robert Murphy joins us from the Feinberg School of Medicine, the famous infectious disease specialist. Doctor, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I know so many people who have COVID-19 who have been vaccinated and boosted. Safe, careful people, too. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, this vaccine doesn't even work. And I said, yes, it does. But then I was thinking about breakthrough cases used to sound like something rare and extraordinary. It seems pretty common these days. Talk to me about the efficacy of this vaccine.
The vaccines work great. They keep you out of the hospital and they keep you alive. If you look at the overall mortality, the death rate of somebody who's vaccinated, the mortality rate is 0.024%. That's just a minuscule amount. I mean, it's everything is bad. Then go in the hospital and you look, 80 to 90% of the hospitalized patients are not vaccinated at all. And you look in the ICU, it's even higher. It's like 95 to 97%. So the vaccines work quite well. The problem is Omicron variant, the thing that's floating around now in this country, is so contagious that a lot of more people are getting it than we've ever seen before. But the vaccinated people that get it are actually doing very well with it.
I guess then it makes one wonder what's the purpose or definition of a vaccine. Trust me, I'm on team vaccine, but it's not a cure and it's not even 100% preventive. Its job, if you will, is to keep you from going to the hospital. That's what the vaccine does.
Well, that's what it does the best. It does protect you from getting infected, but there's just so much transmission now. It's just this variant is very transmissible. And let's get this straight. It is a vaccine. The vaccines are real vaccines.
And does it look different? Does it have different hooks or barbs on the end that make it more transmissible? I mean, we all know what a coronavirus looks like these days. Do you know, can you help me understand how this one is different?
Yeah, this one is different. You know, when these variants came along, we had Alpha, we had Beta, the one from South Africa, we had the and then we had Delta. You know, Delta, I think, had 12 or 11 mutations. And then along comes Omicron. 30 mutations in the spike protein itself. That's that little red thing you've seen in the pictures that where the virus attaches to the cells. And 20 other mutations throughout the virus. 50 mutations. I mean, it's changing into something completely different.
Is it possible that if we don't get a handle on this one, that another even more infectious or maybe deadly version will emerge?
Well, that's always the fear. That's why we've got to be vigilant. And that's why we don't want to run around trying to get infected with this thing. It's like playing with fire.
You said that the mortality rate for vaccinated people with Omicron is 0.024%. Do you know what it is without being vaccinated? Is there a similar number?
About 1%.
1%.
It's much, much higher.
Yeah, I guess as a percent, your chances then are far greater that Omicron will take you. And yet even that would remind me then that Omicron isn't as deadly as Delta, right?
Right. It's half as deadly, but 3 to 6 times more contagious.
Are you frustrated with the questioning that I'm giving you? Not with me per se, but that whole line of thought out there where people say, well, everybody's getting a breakthrough case, so what's the point?
Well, I mean, I think it's a problem with people like myself being unable to explain it clearly enough. So I blame myself. I blame, you know, the other experts in the field. Hey, let's face it. We haven't had a pandemic in our lifetime. The last pandemic in the United States was in 1918. Very few people around from back then, you know. And so, you know, we're kind of just following it as it goes and adjusting our recommendations based on what we're learning.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we've never been here before. And it's a dangerous beast that's killed 850,000 people.
You didn't ask, but I think you and your colleagues at Northwestern, several have been on, notably Dr. Most. I think Allison Arwoody, I think Ngozi Ezike, Mm-hmm. I think we are blessed in the Chicago area with people who have very well been able to articulate the very science of it in understandable things for people like me who don't know a lick about medicine. That doesn't mean people are going to follow the advice, but I think you guys have done a terrific job.
Well, thank you. And I do appreciate it because, you know, I've made mistakes. I made a mistake this morning on WGN TV.
Really?
About the new testing that came out. I got a bulletin that said, oh, the only people that are getting tests are the people with private insurance. And I thought that was ridiculous. And I said that. But, you know, it turns out there's two different things going on. There's the 500 million free tests that are going out there. And I think they just doubled the order to a billion.
Million. Or no, 500 million would be a billion. Yeah. Wow. A billion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A billion. Yeah. A billion. That's a lot. That's like everybody gets three. But the other thing is that the administration has basically instructed the private insurance companies that they have to pay for tests if people want tests.
$12 per, yeah.
It's two different. It was two different things. It's not one thing. So there's the free tests on the .gov site, and then the insurance companies are required to reimburse you for tests if you can buy it. That's the problem.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I see the distinction you're making now. Because to be honest with you, when I heard that earlier, I thought it was the same thing.
But yeah, no, I got confused too. I think it was somebody combined the messages and. But that's just another problem with the whole messaging of this. It's not been good. Not been good.
Does one variant or another cause greater loss of taste and smell?
Well, supposedly, the reports that have come out in the United States, the United Kingdom, and South Africa, that there's less loss of taste and smell with the Omicron. And it presents as a milder upper respiratory tract infection, more like you have a mild cold almost. Not that it can't kill you, but you know it presents in more people in a more milder format.
Yeah. And then one last thing about that before I just pick up a quick phone line and then we'll let you go, Dr. Robert Murphy from the Feinberg School at Northwestern. And suddenly it escapes me. We were talking about the loss of taste. Oh, yeah. So for the people who do lose their taste, how long on average do they have to wait to get it back? Most people, I presume, will get it back?
Most people get it back. But there's a minority of patients where that can take months. And it's very debilitating because it makes food just taste like cardboard. And it's really a very unpleasant side effect. But most people do, it's like you said, most people do get better.
And is that damage to the brain that's causing that?
Yeah, that's a central nervous system phenomenon. And in some cases, they've gone to as far as to treat this, basically teaching people how to smell and taste again.
Tony, speaking of damage to the brain, had a question along these lines. Tony, you're on WGN. With Dr.
All right, thank you. Hi, Doctor. Doctor,
Hi.
Back in August, I had which probably the original COVID, and subsequently now I've had the shots and all that. However, since that time, I'm suffering from what I consider to be that brain fog. I'm not as sharp as I was. I forget a lot of stuff. Start one thing, drop in the middle of it, go to something else. I'm just not myself anymore. And I was wondering if you were, you know, how long is this going to last? And do you think that is actually something that COVID caused?
Oh, definitely it's something that COVID caused in you and many other people. There's approximately 14% of people who get COVID, even mild COVID. I don't know if your case was mild or not, but even with mild COVID, have some kind of side effect up to 6 months later and even longer. And this what they're calling this brain fog that you've heard about, it's unfortunately way too common. And this is another reason to take this thing seriously. Now, in general, people have gotten better. But I would suggest if you're still having symptoms now that you get into the hands of a good neurologist and so they can evaluate you and maybe offer you some treatment.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that my case, my taste, everything I tasted during that period was salt, just salt.
Mm-hmm.
And I had bad headaches, high fever, but I never had a problem breathing, which was good. So it's kind of, it's just been kind of weird. Everybody I talk to is a little different.
Yeah, but I've noticed that too. Yeah. I'm out of time, guys. So a good neurologist. And is there a treatment, doctor? I mean, are they prescribing
Well, there is. It's based on the exact symptoms of the person, and it's a symptomatic treatment. There's no treatment for the virus itself, but treating the symptoms.
By the way, covidtests.com, T-E-S-T-S at the end. covidtest.gov. I always throw com in front of things. COVID. Look at me, doctor. I'm making a mistake on the radio. covidtests.gov to get those free ones sent. That's different than the insurance programs.
Right.
Contact your provider for that, and we will contact you another day, doctor. Very helpful, fascinating, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me.